you'll find out that I love languages. I love language. I think it's fascinating how we use words in different ways and how it all works together. And Latin is a great language. I joke sometimes, I say it's God's first language. It's not true. His first language, God's first language, silence. God's first language is silence. So if you want to listen to God and you want to hear his voice, learn how to be silent. But Latin's a great one, right? So here's a great short Latin phrase. Some of you may have heard this from me before. Agere sequitur esse. Agere sequitur esse. Agere, action. It's where we get the word agitate. Sequitur, follows. It's where we get the word sequel. Esse, being. It's where we get the word essence or essential, right? So action follows being. Agere sequitur esse, which is just a real simple way of saying who you are should come before what you do. That who you are is more fundamental and primary than any of your actions, and that if you know who you are, then the way you act will be directed. And we usually get it just opposite. We think that our actions are revelatory of the deepest core of our being, and that's just not true, because God has called us first to be with him, and then we do things for him. Well, tonight, the gospel is about the primacy of being with God, being with Jesus. So 8 times in 8 verses, we have the verb remain. We hear Jesus say remain 8 times in 8 verses. And the Greek word that is used in John's gospel is menein. And it's deeply significant. It means way more than just stay. It means abide, dwell, even live, right? Live in me. So when Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you, you could say, abide in me as I abide in you. Dwell in me as I dwell in you. That is so beautiful. That you and I could dwell in God as he dwells in us. Live in me as I live in you. See, friends, that living in Jesus, that's the key to everything. That's the key to our faith. That's the key to Christianity. See, and we often reduce Christianity to agere, to action. So it goes like this. I'm a good Christian if I do good Christian things. Or, actually, more realistically, it's this. I'm a good Christian if I don't do bad, non-Christian, sinful things. That's what makes me good. If I don't sin, then I'm good. But that's not true. Okay? That's not enough. That's not what it's all about. See, Jesus wants, he wants so much more for us to avoid sin, right? He wants way more than for us to just avoid sin, even though we should avoid sin. And he wants way much more for us than for us just to do good things, to be morally upright, even though we should do good things and be morally upright. So far beyond just avoiding sin and far beyond just doing good things, Jesus wants something more. What's the something more that he wants? Well, the great Dominican Father Paul Murray, he taught me in Rome, just a fantastic priest, fantastic preacher, spiritual director to Mother Teresa, right? I got to sit in on a class on Christian prayer taught by that guy. Like, he says this. He says, Jesus wants to live his life in you. Jesus wants to live his life in you, more than just avoiding sin and more than just doing good things. Jesus wants to live his life in you. Think about that for a second. Actually, if you pray about that, if you think about that seriously, that will change your whole life. That Jesus wants to live his life in you. That changes everything. That's why one of my favorite prayers at Mass is through him and with him and in him. That's the whole spirituality of Christianity. Through Jesus, with Jesus, and in Jesus. See how it's so much more than just doing stuff for Jesus, but to live through him and with him and in him. And friends, that isn't a one and done deal. We don't just get to make that decision once and be good. We have to stay with Jesus. We have to remain in him. We have to remain in him. Quick analogy. Beautiful flowers, right? Wonderful. They're gorgeous. These roses are new. We just had a wedding this weekend. Beautiful rose. Except it's dead. This beautiful thing is dead. It is cut off, quite literally, from the source of its life. And so what you have right now is going to be very fleeting. It won't last. Unless, and you could actually do this, maybe not now, as long as this has been cut off, but you could graft this back onto a rose bush. And it could live. And that's the only way it could live, actually. Because cut off from the source, cut off from life itself, it will die. And so will we. Jesus says in the gospel, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, how much of our sadness, our anxiety, our worry, even our sinful actions come from us trying to do just that thing, live apart from Jesus. Have some part of our life, some area of our life that is apart from him, where I get to remain in charge, where I get to be the one who calls the shot. And when we do that, often we're just like this. Because when this rose got cut off from the vine, from the rose bush, it didn't immediately disintegrate. In fact, it looks like it's fine. It looks beautiful. It's red and green, and the leaves look good, and it's fine, right? Wrong. It's dying. And in so many ways, it's already dead. It's just a matter of time. That's the same for us. We cut ourselves off from the vine, and we think we're fine. But we're not. Because unless we live in him, unless we draw our life from him, then we can do not just some things. Jesus doesn't say that. Not just okay things. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to be grafted onto him. We have to be rooted in him. We have to draw our life from him. That's why he says 8 times in 8 verses, remain, remain, remain. Remain in me as I remain in you. Now, if we remain in Jesus, 2 things happen. We live both a concrete existence and a dynamic existence. So concrete and dynamic. Concrete as opposed to abstract. Great lines from the Apostle John in his first letter, the second reading tonight. He says, children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. Real actions, deeds. By the way, that's why I never take for granted your presence at this Mass or any of the Masses during the week. When I see so many of you here tonight, and then when I see so many of you praying in the chapel, not just this one, but in other ones during the week, when 4 priests are busy on Wednesday night hearing confessions, when you go out and you serve, especially the poor, when you have great conversations with each other, that lead to faith, including to conversions. I don't take any of that for granted. You're loving in deed and in truth. It's a beautiful thing. It is so, so, so very good. You're choosing, and God rewards those choices. He absolutely rewards those choices. And here's what the reward looks like. There's dynamic power entering your life. Dynamic as opposed to static. The Greek word, dynamism, dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. Dunamis means power. Power enters your life when you live in Jesus. Not just for him, but when you live in him, when you remain in him and he remains in you, the divine power breaks into your life. And that power changes things. It changes your heart. It changes other hearts. It changes our campus. It changes the church. It changes the world. Of course, there's pruning that goes on. Of course there is. Because none of us are perfect. And so God's word will prune us and shape us and take something off and cut here so that this can bear more fruit. And all of that is happening in all of your lives and in my life as well. But there's power and there's purpose. And that's what happens when we live in and through Jesus Christ. Tonight's gospel finishes with Jesus saying, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Well, I don't know exactly what it means to bear much fruit in the Christian life. I mean, I can speculate, but it's a bit of a weird image. So let me shift away from that. A couple days ago, we had the great feast of St. Catherine of Siena. She's a fantastic saint. Just a couple quotes from her. She says, "If you are who God calls you to be, you will set the world ablaze." That's what it means to bear great fruit. To change the world. To change the world. If the life of Jesus breaks into your life, if you remain in him as he remains in you, you will change the world. And nothing less than that. If you are who you are called to be, who God calls you to be, you will set the world ablaze in the best possible way. And then this quote. She said, "Do not be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things." Isn't that great? Do not be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things. I hope that when you come to Mass, and when you pray in the morning in the quiet, and after you finish a good confession, and when you have a great conversation with a friend about things that ultimately matter, when you go out and you serve, especially the poor, I hope that your heart starts to stir, that it catches fire, and that there is a desire in your heart to do great things, not little things, but great things with your life. I have to be honest. In 14 years of working with Carroll students, I have never once said, "Man, there's a problem with that kid. He wants to do way too much with his life." But I've often said, "There's a problem there. That kid might settle for too little. That he might not do enough with the life that God has given him or her." See, it's always the opposite, right? Settling for too little. Settling for scraps when God has put out this great banquet in front of us. Settling for safety and control when the great adventure of living in Jesus awaits. My heart cry to you is to never settle for too little. Do not settle. God wants great things, not little things. And don't be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things. What does he want? Father Paul Murray. Jesus wants to live his life in you. There is no greater adventure. Say yes to it. But better, say yes to Him. Today, tomorrow, and every day of your life. Amen.